And I think when I look at it, I do not see AI as replacing people. A machine didn't tell our executive team, here's what you guys should do over the next 12 months. We had to come up with those ideas.
They keep telling us that it's all over for HR. The age of AI is upon us, and that means HR should be prepared to be decimated. We reject that message. The future of HR won't be handed to us. Instead, it'll be defined by those ready to experiment, adopt, and adapt. Future-proof HR invites these builders to share what they're trying, how it's going, what they've learned, and what's next. We are committed to arming HR with the AI insights to not just survive, but to thrive. Hello and welcome to the Future Proof HR podcast, where we explore how forward-thinking leaders are navigating disruption and redefining the future of work. I'm your host, Thomas Kunjapu, CEO of Cleary. Now, today's guest is Stephanie Voorhees, the Chief Human Resources Officer at Propio Language Services, a fast-growing company in the language services industry that's boldly embracing artificial intelligence to enhance human performance. Under Stephanie's leadership, Propio has grown from under 100 employees to over 600 in just 2 years, all while launching an internal AI team, an HR AI agent, and a philosophy that AI doesn't replace people, it makes people better. Stephanie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here today.
So there's so much to talk about. Could you tell me a little bit, just to set the background, about what is Propio and what's been going on over the last couple of years that's caused so much growth?
What hasn't been going on the last couple of years is really the question. So we are in the language services world, and we offer both interpretation and translation services. We've got clients all over the globe. It has been phenomenal. I've been here right at 2 years, coming up on 2 years in a couple of weeks. It's been a wild ride. When I first met with Margot and the leadership team here, they promised me a wild ride, and they have yet to underdeliver on that. So we've grown both organically and through acquisition. We've completed 4 acquisitions in the last 18 months. So it has been phenomenal, and really excited to continue to see Propio grow and take this next step into the future.
And you're in the language services space, and to go a little bit back into like my career, like a while ago, I worked on some software that included a lot of machine translation. We're going back well over a decade. And we also work with a lot of human translators to make a bunch of stuff happen there. And on the face of it, it seems like an industry that has always been and is completely being rocked by AI. So tell me about how that's happening and how you guys are growing despite or because of it. Like how is it related? We can just talk about the industry, because it's very interesting, because language services, it's like one of those things where there's a lot of applications leveraging AI, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And from the beginning, we have really seen AI not as a threat, but really as a catalyst of growth for us. We are a people-driven business, and the power of AI really is lying with how can we enhance the accuracy, the speed, and the insight, not replacing the human element. And so we recognized early that organizations who are leaning in and learning fast with AI will really set the pace in this industry. And so for Propio and, you know, things that we're doing here, adopting AI was really about staying true to our mission. And that was connecting people anywhere, anytime. And we are doing that through technology. And we are able to do it at a smarter and more impressive scale than I think others might be able to. And it's really allowed us to innovate from a position of strength rather than reacting from a place of fear.
So was there ever like a moment that made you say, okay, now we're taking a right turn here as a team, and now we're going in like that in terms of being an AI adopter? Or was it just something that happened organically? And specifically, the reason I'm asking is, I feel like a lot of companies and HR leaders who might be out there listening are in that mode, right, of deciding or helping decide at an executive team level, okay, what is our posture towards this for our industry and for us as an organization? So is it a lightning in a bottle moment, or was there just a, you know, I don't know, hundreds of meetings and hours over years?
Yeah, it was definitely a conscious decision on our part. It was about 12 months ago. It was September. We were in We knew that there was a lot of buzz around it. Our executive team is very well-versed in the industry, and we started hearing about it more and more. So a little over 12 years or 12 months ago, we made that conscious decision. And September 2024 is when we took that out to our people.
It sounds like it was a conscious decision at an executive team level, seeing what you see in your industry and where you wanted to go as an organization to really see it as a, you want to be an early adopter, you want to lean in and also ensure that it aligns still with your broader mission. And it does. So once you got past that set of decisions, what comes next? How do you, you know, do the change management for an entire organization around AI adoption?
Yeah. It, like you said, it started at the executive team level. We had to have a lot of those conversations, but I think we came to this decision relatively quickly. And we all had the same thought around AI should enhance our people and performance, not diminish them. And I think since all of us were so aligned around that so quickly, that we were able to expedite some of those conversations that I'm sure companies are having out there that are taking hours upon hours. But once we knew that was our clear principle, the alignment came pretty quickly. Each of our executive team members looked at how could we use AI in our functions? How could it elevate the functions that we were responsible for? From HR to operations, product, all of us, we really took a hard look at what could we do. And then we jumped in. And I think it was a lot of communication. I mentioned this town hall in September 2024. We just came out and said, here's our stance. We're leaning into this, but we want you to know that we believe this is enhancing. It's making people better. It's not better than people. And I think when we took the approach of we're just going to be really open with our employees and our teams, and tell them what we're looking for, that kicked it off. And then after that, it was, how can we test this responsibly? Little small pilots, little trials and errors, continuously being transparent with our communication around what we're doing. We absolutely had to set guardrails. You know, we established an AI committee very early on saying, okay, what are our boundaries? And we were honest with that. We focused on our quick wins. We really demonstrated the value that AI was bringing so the employees could get a little bit of that. You know, a lot of times we're always looking for that final win. We took little wins with AI. And because we had that early on alignment, we were able to have the accountability with each other to really make AI an innovative part of our business.
So it sounds like it was both in product development as well as like internal operations for every department. So it's kind of, as kaleidoscopically engaged as possible. And the approach you're advocating for and you went through it sounds like transparency is like key, right? So you made a decision fast and you kind of went at it and said, here's what we're doing and there's a lot of open questions, but we're going to support people along the way. I think even if another stage I hear about often are executive teams that are aligned, but then they're trying to figure out how should we best go about engaging with a broader employee population around this? All the way from like mandates to, oh, this is completely open and experiments, promises about L&D in folks and skilling versus just saying, hey, we need to figure things out in a small group first before we kind of make a bigger announcement. What kind of thoughts would you have about those kind of change management decisions that like people might be going through about given executive alignment, how to go about that? Like what things would you consider in forming such a strategy?
I think part of it for us was we were really honest in saying nobody knows what they're doing 100% here. Like AI is to everybody. And I think that just us being willing to say, we're going to mess this up 100% and being okay to try a lot of things, fail fast with them because nobody has the playbook for AI. I think that's one of the most asked questions for me right now, whether it's internally or externally, is what's your playbook? We don't have one. We're all writing this thing together. And one of our values, and you know, I think we'll talk a little bit about some appropriate values later with fail fast. It was perfect with AI. We just had to jump in, try it out. And there was some strategy internally within and externally as well. But on the internal side, is we identified groups of people that we knew were excited about it. Interested in it, you know, might not be as hesitant. And we tried and we got those little wins with them. And then I'm like, oh, wait, that's really cool. I would like to try that. And so it became a I want what they have And so we were pretty strategic internally with picking pockets to trial things with. And then externally, obviously, so much of what we do is in healthcare and very regulated industries. So we had to be also on our client teams. They were extremely strategic in, you know, clients that they started to have these discussions with. And we took it as we're going to have to try things. We aren't going to get it 100% perfectly, but let's try it. But let's be really strategic about how we try it and who we're trying it with.
So I have to ask then about the HR element of this. So do you feel like as a people leader within the organization, have you been taking on new things, would you say, with this transformation? Or does it feel like other exercises that the function has historically led, whether it's like a digital transformation or company-wide processes that you're rolling out there? How does this compare? Does it feel like it's adding more to the already full functions, briefcase?
I think it's just something different. I don't think it's anything more. And it might just be me. I've got a project management focus when I'm building my HR teams and running the people function. It's all very project management focused. But for me, it hasn't been something that's scary in this like big overhauling thing. Last year, we implemented a new HRIS. That was not an easy feat. We've gone through 4 acquisitions and acquired 1,000 employees every 18 months. That's not easy either. To me, I didn't let myself get bogged down in, oh my gosh, this is something new. I've got to figure it out. So let's jump in and figure it out. What exciting things could this do for us in the future? And so I think a lot of it was the mindset that I went in with it, but I don't think it was any more than any other change management that HR function would do in the business. It's just something different.
I love that attitude. One of the things that you guys did was actually build, that is a little bit unique, is you actually have now a VP of AI, right? So it's a function, right? That's like now kind of emerged, which some organizations are also like thinking about, or it just may naturally go into existing functions and it's, or maybe becomes more bottom up in terms of the strategy. Tell me a little bit about what came about with building this internal AI function. How did that come about? And why does it make sense in your environment?
It makes sense in a lot of ways. In our internal AI function, it's not just internally facing. That team is doing internal and external work. But just like AI itself, it's evolving. It's a very new team. We just hired the VP of AI in this year. And he came in and we immediately added a whole function to this group. And now we're adding yet another function because we see yet another opportunity and things are going well and we want to expand on things and we want more opportunities. And so it's very similar to AI itself. It's just ever evolving. And I know where it sits today isn't where it's going to be next year. It'll look completely different. Purpo is very fortunate. We've got not even just the executive, all of our senior leaders aren't scared of AI. And I think that's where a lot of businesses right now are struggling, and there is a lot of fear around it. And that's something that makes our management team so strong, is some that might be a little bit more hesitant around it are able to talk to the ones that are more like, let's jump all in, and we can balance each other out. And so I think when you're looking to build these AI functions, we built a committee, as I mentioned earlier, you've got to balance it out, because the people that want to go all in, they probably need to be reeled back a little bit. There is a reality to differences. Right. But also on the other side of it, those that are terrified of it, sometimes they need a little bit of push. And so ensuring that you have that balance within the group is how you're going to evolve as a business.
Got it. And then structurally, could you tell me like how you got into a point where, okay, the strategy is in place. We're doing some change management, bringing people along. And now we even have this internal function, which is itself evolving over time. But what is a structure now? If you want to bring in a new tool or change a particular process, what's been working for you, or what are things that you've shifted in terms of process that is then also enabled by this internal AI function?
Yeah, when we've wanted to bring in a new tool or try something out, it's obviously we've got to make the business case. It can't just be a half baked idea. We're really big into fully make the idea and then sell it. But we've really been open-minded to trying out different things. We've had a lot of conversations with external partners of tools we brought in and said, hey, we want to trial this. We want to see what limits we could, you know, kind of push with it, where it works, where it doesn't work, and just having those conversations. And then we put stuff through the AI committee. We talk about it as an executive team. And I think it's critical when you're looking at bringing in new tools and changing processes. I think a lot of times people think, oh, changing a process, that's HR's job. It is, yes, but I would say it's a yes. And for us, I really thought of it as AI at Probrio wasn't, that's not an HR thing. That's a business decision. HR plays a role in this, absolutely. But because AI is a business decision for us, it's a business shift. We really empowered all our leaders to bring people along with the change and not just put all of that on HR. I can write a policy, yes, but I'm not the one living with these teams. I'm not the one sitting beside them every day. And so for us, we've really taken that perceived burden away from HR. It's like, guys, this is a whole business thing. We're all in this together. It's going to take all of our time and all of our effort.
Wow. So let's talk about the HR side of it, though, because you mentioned the mandate is, you know, what you guys have been doing is not just like implementing AI for your product, but also every function internally is also going at it and finding different ways to pilot and leverage new tools and or ideas. From an HR perspective specifically, what have been some cool things that you've tried that's been like working? Or I'm also just as curious about any of the experiments from the fail fast, where you failed fast at any kind of stage of the piloting process.
Yeah. So tried a few things. I got a lot more on the roadmap for 2026. Now I've got this AI function. I think there's a line out the door of who gets to use them the quickest. But we tried a few things. I think most of it has been in our learning and development function as well as our talent acquisition function.
Okay.
We tried several tools on the TA side around reviewing interviews, typing up their notes, summarizing it. We get a lot of feedback of, oh, wait, this candidate only wanted hybrid or fully remote, or they wanted fully in office. But we've never been able to provide data to make business decisions off of. And so we tried a couple of AI tools. We ended up implementing one that the recruiters will have a phone conversation. It writes their notes for it. But my favorite part is I can go in and say, how many times was PTO mentioned in a phone call? How many times was remote work brought up? And so now I'm able to collect this data, and then I can come back and say, okay, guys, we say anecdotally that this person declined because of X, Y, Z. I actually have data. Do we want to make a change in our programs? Do we want to make a change in our offerings? Or does the data not support it, and it's actually just something that like one person said and it got stuck? So we're able to make a lot better decisions for the business strategy based off of TA conversations, which is very unique.
I love that example. I've seen it a lot in high ticket B2B sales for a while, where the expectation is that every call is recorded. Part of it's like a little bit almost cultural. Are we okay with having these things? But I think we're moving in that direction. But then it's really interesting because you can take out a lot of this unstructured data, which is available in so many transcripts for any kind of context where a call can be recorded, and then convert that into useful insights. And that work, even if you had the recording, like before this technology you're talking about, that's a thankless job if you're going to try to take hundreds of screening calls and trying to come up with a story. Great example. So then that's then come back into making an impact on your processes, or maybe even the candidate experience, or even the employer value proposition overall through in terms of what you're offering.
Yeah, absolutely. And our sales team uses the same tool. We've got different platforms, obviously, but they do use the same tool. And like you said, my recruiting team was very nervous at first. I came to them and said, hey guys, guess what? I'm really excited. I'm going to record all of your phone calls and I can listen to everything. And the eyes got really big. No, I don't want that. I want the data. And then when I told them, I said, you guys are saying that we need to change our PTO policy, or we need to change our this or that. I've never been able to do or have these conversations. I don't have the actual data for it. Guess what? Now I do. And I've been able to show them, because of this tool, one, you guys are saving a ton of time. You're not writing notes. You're saving an absorbent amount of time. I'm very compliant from a note-taking standpoint. And I now have actual data, and I'm helping you guys. And it has proven itself a couple of times to where they love it.
I love that example, because often part of the part of the journey is the change management internally with a team that has a process that they're comfortable with and is getting to some results. And now you got to really have the motivation. So there's some time-saving element here, obviously, for recruiters, but then there's also this carrot of we can actually make a case to help you convert, like in your case, have a better employer value proposition and convert candidates better if we're able to improve the offering effectively, right? That's interesting because I see the parallels with sales, of course, but then also it's would you say that like your recruiters were after that initial time where you're getting them on board, did you go through a pilot and then you got everyone's feedback and now we're just like off and standardize that as a, generally speaking, as a process?
No, I just throw them in. There wasn't a pilot. I said, we're doing this. If it's terrible, I'll fix it. But let's try it. I think it's going to be great. Our sales team was using it beforehand. And so I was able to sit down with our SVP of sales. And I'm like, show me your ways. Show me the value. And I really did a ton of due diligence on the front end. And then I said, they're going to panic about the recording. It was right. But then they saw the value very quickly. And so I jumped right in. I showed them all of the whys. Yeah. And I showed them all the value. And I brought them along. And then they learned pretty quickly that I was not incorrect in my selling.
This has been a fantastic conversation so far. If you haven't already done so, make sure to join our community. We're building a network of the most forward-thinking HR and people operations professionals who are defining the future. I will personally be sharing news and ideas around how we can all thrive in the age of AI. You can find it at gocleary.com/cleary-community. Now back to the show. Yeah, and it's also an example where, so I mean, you're at the level of setting the strategy and saying, hey, we're going to all do this at a company level, but then in your own function, because arguably recruiters and different any team member could potentially propose any of these ideas. But yeah, I think at least what I'm hearing is as a leader, you don't have to stop there. You can go all the way into let's try this particular tool for this particular process and let's try that starting next week and let's really roll up our sleeves and go and then see where we end up to really force the issue to see if you can get to some results. But I'm very curious also about the other one that you use case you mentioned on the L&D side. What's been working or not working there?
Yeah. So content creation has been the name of a game with that. We've used AI a lot on the content creation side, but we're also starting to explore or AI on the L&D side around recommendations. So we don't have this one 100% figured out yet. We're trying out some tools right now where it can say, hey, the employee's performance is showing X. Maybe they need Y training. Or, hey, the feedback is here. We recommend this. And so actually making recommendations, I am transparently a little more hesitant of how that works than I was on the content creation side. But my L&D team is definitely using AI significantly in content creation. It's speeding up. We've got a small but mighty L&D team here, and they're able to produce a lot more quickly the content that they're supplying out to the organization.
Isn't there a similar risk with that content creation side too? Like, you know, you're putting out AI slop. Usually you'd have really well thought through content for a manager training or a specific functional kind of training, but now you're just, expected to do more, like we're going to do 10 trainings instead of two, and then you devolve towards stuff that's not as good, basically, or not as effective. Like, what are the guardrails, or how do you feel like you're on the content creation side? Because I feel like that's the place where it's easiest to start, but how do you protect against that, the quality not being to the same level as you used to have it?
Yeah, this is definitely an area that my team had to learn a little bit from when we first started this journey a little over a year ago to today. And I do quarterly town halls with all of my people team. In the last two, I said, okay, we're talking about AI. We have a whole section on AI and we're going to talk about it. And it really has been around, I love that you guys are using it. I don't want to know that you're using it by the product that's being produced. And so I reminded my team of the ChatGPTs of the world writing our emails. That's awesome. I love this for us. However, I don't want it to sound like ChatGPT wrote your email. Please make it sound like you. And so I really have had to actually take examples of work product that I've seen. I review a lot of the things before they go out to the organization, but I've had to take and think, look, I knew this was written by AI. Here's how I knew. And I compared it to things that I think showing them and just having that, I'm not upset. I'm the one that told you to go do this.
Right.
I'm not upset at all. I just want you guys to understand that there is a balance to it. You know, AI is making us more efficient. AI is providing us a lot of value, saving us a ton of time. But we are still responsible for humans. And there's a human on the other side of every single thing that we do. And we cannot lose sight of that. So even when it comes as far as to automation, I'm pushing them to think through, if you receive that as your response, you know, your chatbot responding that way, how would you feel about that? If an employee uses the chatbot and says, my mother just passed away, I do not want that chatbot to just respond with, here is the bereavement policy. We need to build it to notify us. And so a human can respond to that, because you need to know how you would feel if you got that. And so I'm doing that on the content side. If you were sitting in a room going through this, are you going to feel like a machine did this? Or are you going to feel like a human invested time? So it's definitely a balance, and it's an area that we had to learn. And like I said, I was okay with saying, I pushed you guys.
Right.
But now I'm going to show you how we can get better. And we've iterated together as a team.
You can't be the high school teacher telling your kids to use ChatGPT and then complaining about plagiarism.
Correct. 100%.
But yeah, there's a balance here. And I like your approach of just thinking about it from the customer standpoint, right? It's like an age-old advice, right? That's still relevant. Put yourself in the customer's shoes and what would you think, right? And exactly. If people follow that, because if you chase efficiency to the end, you have to balance that, right? A little bit with the quality from the customer's perspective. So it's like there's content creation, but then you're playing with the idea of recommendations to keep people think about what they could take next. So then you said there's a whole roadmap of other ideas. What else are you like excited about for 2026? What opportunities do you see and for the organization to leverage more?
Yeah, our biggest area that we want to invest in from the people team is performance. I still think there's some more I can add into the talent acquisition function. Our big joke is we actually use ChatGPT to find our VP of AI. Very roundabout way, but it was involved in the hiring of our VP of AI. Nice. And it's one of our favorite stories. But we want to really focus on the performance side of things. Performance takes a lot of time. And not everybody loves it. Not everybody is as good from a leader standpoint in having those discussions. So there are several tools that we're currently evaluating right now that can help us with some level of automation with Ninebox AI performance review writing, which sounds very scary, but that is where I'm checking a lot of boxes of saying, okay, but we have to make sure the manager is able to say, yes, that is what I wanted to say. And so that's really where we're taking at least the first half of 2026. Who knows what the second half will hold for us. But really that first half is continuing to invest on the talent acquisition side. And then implementing some AI enhanced performance tools. There's a lot of debate around this, but AI can be less subjective when it comes to performance. And the tools that we're currently looking at can pull data from a lot of areas and make recommendations. And I think at a minimum, it's going to make the leader stop and go, you know what? That's probably correct.
That's an interesting can of worms. Is AI more or less objective than a human in... It's very context and model dependent, I'm sure, the answer there. But it's just intriguing that we can even ask that question. So yeah, there's so much value if you get it right on the performance management side. But when you're talking about that, my mind went to just your previous point immediately, which was, imagine now it's a higher stake, right? So if you're delivering L&D course with some AI like look and wording in there, that's one thing. If you're telling someone you're probably going to go on a performance improvement plan through AI writing, that's like a whole other impact from the customer standpoint. You really have to guard against, right? If you're zooming out then a little bit with me, then we're just talking about the future in general, you have so many different examples of ways that you're executing area by area, trying different things and going with AI. What do you think, and that's a crux of a lot of what we think about on the Future Proof HR podcast, is what does the HR function in the future like look like? What skills are important, or what's less and more expressed? How's it all shifting, do you think?
Yes, I continue to be asked this question. And I think I see HR as a little bit different over the last 5 years than I think the industry has seen it.
We mean career AI?
Huh? Huh?
You mean pre-AI revolution artists? Yeah. Or are you talking like COVID pandemic? Tell me about that first, then we can talk about this next one.
Yeah. And I think I mentioned this when I first met with you around HR is not a checklist admin function. I had not seen it that way. And I think AI is just adding fuel to this fire that has been within me of, guys, we are not, this is what we actually are. I've always felt like HR is way more than what it's given credit for a lot of times. And I'm fortunate at Proprio that I've been supported and been able to carry out that vision around Proprio. HR is really embedded in the business. We understand the business goals. We can anticipate their needs. We can help them drive impact through their growth and performance. And so it's not just about ensuring simply their compliance or processing forms. It's building on capabilities. It's strengthening our leadership team. And really, it's helping to create programs or processes or whatever it is that help the people perform at their best. You know, and AI is just adding up fuel to that. And in a way, it's catching up to where my mind has been over the last 5 years. But AI is fundamentally shifting HR from administrative to strategic. There is no way around that. And the real opportunity is about replacing people. It's about amplifying the human capability. I've always said it's not employees, they're human capital. It is the most important thing to your business. And so AI is really just amplifying the human capital's capabilities. And we are seeing, especially appropriate, we are seeing AI as a tool to streamline some of that routine work. The teams can focus on higher value initiatives. And that's where I think a lot of HR leaders and HR, you know, professionals are scared of AI. It's replacing my job. It's not. It's bringing you up to be more strategic. It's bringing you up to be a partner. It's allowing you to provide talent strategy to an organization and driving culture and being in a leadership development opportunity. It allows us to move much faster, right, analyze data a lot more and a lot more intelligently. I just had somebody the other day that said, I never trusted HR with numbers. Before you and before your leadership, your career, I didn't trust HR as far as their numbers go. Oh, that is going to get better because of AI. If HR leaders allow it to happen, they are able to become a different version of themselves to the business. They're able to be that person that has their numbers, be able to provide insights that we never were able to provide or would have provided, would have taken us hours and days to provide any sort of insights that may or may not be wrong. We don't have to do that.
I think your talent acquisition implementation is an example of that. First of all, you're getting data and you can say, no, really, this is brought up in, I don't know, 80% of the time in this market when we're hiring for this role, they keep mentioning PTO and here is the data. It's hard to, right, hard to question that versus the same conversation would have been, hey, like the recruiters keep hearing this and a couple of our key managers agree. So let's put this big investment in to change the policy that would help us close. Or it's a very different conversation.
Yeah. And I've told my team, I said, HR will really in the future be defined as how can we effectively blend technology and empathy? We can never lose the empathy component of our world. How can we blend that technology and the empathy and really use AI for efficiency versus human connection?
So you mentioned then it's going to be less administrative as a function. Mm-hmm. But the way I see it is that's not going away. The administration needs to happen, right? People need to be the hiring and firing and like the benefits and all that. Do we agree that we're stacking on top of that, but that's actually possible? So we're going up higher up the hierarchy of needs for the organization, but we've never been able to get there. But this stuff doesn't really disappear, does it?
It doesn't disappear, but I think it's because of these tools, we're able to do it quicker. And we're able to, in some ways, we're able to set up the systems to do it. And so instead of me going in and changing this and this, or you know, my team going in and having a five-step process, this system is able to do that for them. They still need to check in. And we're not going to get away from I-9s or W-4s or whatever it is. Those are always going to be there. But the systems are making them move much more quickly. And so the team, I think, is still doing those, but the time it takes them is so much less. And so they're they have so much extra capacity now to where they can be those strategic partners to the business and understand the business at a deeper level than we've been able to understand it before.
I love that. So can I ask also about just the future of work a little bit? That I think earlier when we were talking about how sometimes like the employer-employee relationship, it might be shifting and it changes over the life cycle of an employee of an employment period. Sometimes employees grow with the company as a company shifting, or sometimes you grow apart. This is all, I guess, age-old, like people leadership stuff, but how do you handle these kind of conversations around ensuring that as a company's pace is so, in terms of change, is so fast, right? What you're describing with terms of employee growth, tooling, mindset shifts, like process changes, it's a lot that's like happening. You're throwing at people. How do you balance that with just ensuring that you're bringing people along and having the right conversations to help people grow into or out of appropriately?
Yeah. That conversation is one I shouldn't say I never shied away from it. I think early on in my career, I was in the, oh my gosh, we lost a person. What are we going to do mindset? And I really shifted away from that. And now anybody that has gone through an interview with me at Proprio, I have said the same line. This place is not the place for everybody. And I'm okay with that. I tell people, you want a manual that I can pull off of a shelf and say, this is how we've always done it. This is how you're going to do it. This is exactly the key to success. Proprio is not the right place for you. And I know that there's talent out there that are phenomenal at what they do, but that's not the right place for them. I've had people on my team since I've been here. Like, you're a great person. I think you're great for a business, just not this business. And so I think that can be scary because sometimes turnover is looked poorly upon as a leader. It's not always. Now, obviously, I could go down a rabbit hole of when it is, but it's not always. And so I think the way that I've handled it, and especially at Proprio, is just with honesty and transparency and respect. I've brought people along and said, here's why. My team knows all the changes we're making, why we're making them, pros and cons to it. I try to approach them very self-aware. I know this isn't going to be a perfect change for us. I know this might give you a headache or a little bit of heartburn here. You know, I'm thinking through this with you guys. And so I've been very transparent with them on the changes that we've had to make. But also when team members have come to me or I had to have conversations with team members, I don't feel like you're loving this anymore. You know, let's talk about that because I want them to succeed. I think unhappy people do unhappy work. And that's not good for them, and it's not good for Proprio. And I just want to have that conversation with them. If one of my team members says, you know what, I can't handle the change anymore. Okay, the acquisitions are getting too. Okay, I get that. I understand it. And let's figure out a way that we can support you on your way out. You know, you can support us on your way out. Let's do this together. And so I think being able to listen to this is hard on me. It's hard. You never want to hear an employee say, hey, all of this change was driving me crazy. That's hard to hear because, you know, as leaders, we're excited about it. We're ready to do it. But I think if you can say, I get it. Look, it's a lot and it's not a good fit for you, then you're putting yourself, the business, and that employee in a better position.
Yeah, that's tough, but transparent. So yeah. The thing I'm thinking about is if that's like the posture, how do you stay people first, right? Which is a big part of the ethos, where really what we're talking about is a rapid acceleration of change that everyone is experiencing throughout the world, but certainly in the workplace. But really, a lot of that is being driven by the AI enablement of so many things like shifting. Is there like a universal skill set that is going to come into the fore for everyone across every company? I know you're commenting, of course, about your organization and what you're like seeing through, but if you're stepping back out and reflecting a little bit, like generally speaking, what is it going to be meaning for any HR leader where many of us are committed to being people first and investing in the people in an AI-enabled world?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think when I look at it, I do not see AI as replacing people. And everything that we are doing with AI, we're asking, what is the impact on the employees? What is the impact on the client? What is the impact on the end user? And so I think as long as you don't lose sight of the people first, you're able to successfully do it. And I say people operate AI. And that's what I tell my team all the time. I said, we've got to have a team that can operate the machines that are doing all of these tasks. And people are the ones that are coming up with the ideas. A machine didn't tell our executive team, here's what you guys should do over the next 12 months. We had to come up with those ideas. And so what I really spend my time on is what I mentioned earlier of my team is, how is a person receiving this? It might have been done in a third of the time. Great for you. But if it makes a person not feel good, you lost them. And my team hears these two words more than anything. What is the experience? You know, people experience. And that is what I will always do. So when we're sitting going through and we're building the responses, we're building the automations, we're building out all of these things, how would you feel if you got that? You know, I think I'm probably the negative Nelly in all of these implementation calls of, I would love that. And also involves that on Amazon or Target or whoever's chat bot trying to return something. And we all have wanted to throw our phones out the car window while doing so. And I
just yelling in, like a decade ago, yelling operator into the phone.
Yes.
No.
I just want an agent. Yes. No. I bring those examples up to my team all the time of, I never want our employees to feel like that. At the end of the day, our team is literally called the people team. We can never forget that.
Absolutely. As you look ahead and as our time is kind of closing out here, what are some things that you're like really excited about the next stage of growth and transformation at Propio or for the HR team?
It's what I don't know. That's honestly what I'm so excited about is it is, I describe Propio to you as the good type of crazy, and it will always ring true to me of, I don't know what is next. I don't think we had a grand idea. Our CEO might tell me different, but I don't think that we had this like thought that we'd be able to do 4 acquisitions in 18 months. I don't think any of us thought that. You know, I didn't think that we'd be able to completely retool and function the HR team within less than 2 years. And those things were not always on the roadmap, but they were opportunities that came. And so for me, what I'm most excited about for my team, for Propio as a whole, and for the HR industry is we don't know what's coming. None of us saw COVID. I'm sure somebody saw AI. I did not see AI coming at the speed in which it came to us. And so it's just having the mentality and loving what I do so much of, I don't know what's going to get thrown at us. Let's figure this out together. We might have a headache after that day, but we're going to figure it out. I think is what I'm most excited for. It's just, we don't know what's coming and I can't wait to see what's in store for us.
Absolutely. I think that is a great thought as any to end this conversation, Stephanie, because the future is unwritten, but there is a lot we can learn from all of these different projects that you've gone through, both from the executive alignment to change management and how you thought about that, not just top down, but also bottom up. And have you also rolled up your sleeves into getting into specific projects? We went to some great examples across the employee lifecycle and HR programs, right? Where there's no dearth of projects or ideas, right? For ways that people, depending on the journey they're on and the phase of the organization where they can't find some room to experiment. And I love your focus on mindset because that came up a bunch around like what you're expecting from the employee population as well as the HR team to actually move things forward and all the nuances associated with the communication, right? From the leadership position and the HR team more broadly in interaction with the overall organization. Thank you for sharing all this. And you say you're a negative Nelly, but on the other hand, you're also pushing to try everything. But yes. I guess it's two sides of the same coin. Like, we got to try everything, but that's a fail fast, right? But we got to be open to really evaluating whether this is working for us or not. But we got to keep evaluating. And I suspect as you keep doing that, the muscle just gets built. And so the whole team just gets better at it and more efficient at it. And it gets more fun, hopefully, and less of those days with headaches, as you mentioned. Thank you for this conversation. For everyone who's listening out there and who's looking at ways to future-proof their own organizations and their own HR functions, I think there are several nuggets. Hopefully you've taken away from this chat. And to Stephanie, once again, thank you for this conversation and see you on the next one. Bye now. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Future Proof HR. If you like the discussion, make sure you leave us a 5-star review on the platform you're listening to or watching us on. Or share this with a friend or colleague who may find value in the message. See you next time as we keep our pulse on how we can all thrive in the age of AI. Hey, it's Thomas again. One quick question before you go. Are you and your HR team tired of answering the same employee questions again and again in Slack? If yes, our Cleary AI-powered Slackbot is here to help. It takes routine employee requests and answers it automatically while freeing up time for you to take on more important tasks. At the same time, it automatically builds up an HR knowledge base as you go. It's quick to set up, works right in Slack, and you can try it for free. Just head on over to gocleary.com/HR-chatbot to install it. It's again, gocleary.com/HR-chatbot. Thanks again.